Ruth chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. And before we read God's word, let us ask God for his blessings. Shall we pray? Father, creator of heaven and earth, would you recreate us by your holy word? Lord Jesus Christ, redeemer of heaven and earth, would you redeem us through your holy word? Holy Spirit, the sanctifier of heaven and earth, would you sanctify us by applying the living word of God in our hearts? Triune God, we are hungry for your word. Please feed us and nourish us for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without our two sons and our husband. This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever come across someone who asked you, where was God when Hitler killed thousands of Jews? Where was he when that 9/11 incident happened? Do you know of someone who says, there is no God? Hundreds and thousands of children die of cancer every year. Does your next door neighbor gives you a hard time saying, if there is a God, why there is so much pain and suffering? Or do you, even in this light of COVID-19, struggle with your own faith? This morning, God is going to answer you. He's not going to answer where he was, but rather, he's going to answer us that what he was doing and what he is doing for us in pain, amidst suffering, and amidst tragedy. And this brings us to the theme of our sermon. God provides in Naomi's tragedy. God provides in Naomi's tragedy. And we will see this truth in three different points. How God provides when Naomi is left without food. How God provides when Naomi is left without husband. And how God provides when Naomi is left without her two sons. Now let us discuss how God provides when Naomi is without food. Brothers of the Lord, I have a question for you. Is it wrong for someone who is in the state of Illinois to relocate their house from the state of Illinois to the state of Indiana because of the high tax rates And sisters in the Lord, I have a question for you. Is it wrong to buy food from Aldi rather than Strack and Mantle because the food is costlier in Strack and Mantle? The answer is, in both cases, it's not wrong, because you, as a good steward, you are trying to save money. That's great. And also, now we have to ask the same question. Is it wrong when there is a famine in the land to move to a different location? After all, nobody wants to die because of food, starving, right? But you see, however, the move Naomi and her family does, moving from Bethlehem to Moab, it was wrong. It was wrong for two reasons. First of all, the author of the book of Ruth, he reminds us, he tells us that, if you see in verse 1, it says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was famine in the land. And again, if you have your Bibles, just turn, flip a page over. You see in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You see, Judges, during the time of Judges, the nation of Israel was in a spiritual decline. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And also, the author of Ruth, he wants us to remember that famine during the time of Judges was not just a mere accident. It was not a chance. It was not a luck. But rather, it was the working of God's covenant curse. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you read it, it's a big list from chapter 1 to all the way to chapter 52. The first 15 verses, it talks about the blessings of keeping God's commandment. And from verse 15 all the way to verse 52, it tells the blessing, the curses of not keeping God's commandment. And food shortage is one of them. And in fact, if you see in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, this is what God is saying to the nation of Israel. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you rains in their seasons, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. You see, famine during the days of Judges was a warning signal. Let me give you an example. All of us have a car. Yeah, when you drive, there are so many lights or indicators in your dashboard. For example, if the tire pressure lights go on, it means you need to check your tire. If the fuel light goes on, it means you're running out of fuel, you need to refuel it. Likewise, when God was sending this famine to the people of Israel during the time of Judges, he wants his people to repent of their sins and to come back to him. Rather than turning to God, this family turned their back on God and they left to Moab. That was the first reason. The second reason is that, you know from the scriptures, from Genesis 19, the nation of Moab, they come from the incest between Lot and her elder daughter. And more than that, if you see in Numbers chapter 22, Balak, the king of Moab, he wanted to destroy Israel. And that's why he hires a false prophet, Balaam, to curse them and to destroy them. And in Numbers 25, the Moabites, they seduced the Israelites, and the Israelites committed sexual immorality, and 24,000 people died. And during the time of Judges, if you read in Judges 3, the king Eglon, the Moabite king, he suppressed the people of Israel for 18 years. And more than that, the top of it, the nation of Moab, they commit an abomination, which the God of Israel, he hates it. They constantly sacrifice their children to this false god, Chemosh. So that is why this family is making a mistake, leaving Bethlehem, which literally means house of bread, leaving the promised land and going to a nation which does not respect God's law or commandment. Dear brothers and sisters of the Lord, do we not struggle with the same struggle that's with the family of Naomi? First of all, let us remember, like, whether you had a cereal or a oatmeal for breakfast this morning, it comes from God. And also ask yourself this question. During this COVID-19 pandemic, we did have toilet paper shortage, and we did have meat shortage. How was our heart? Where was it? Did we sleep night because of that? Did we trust in God? Did we trust in His providence and His promise? Or we, like the rest of the world, were panicking? And some of you brothers, you would have provided food for you, for your family, but there's another famine that's going on in the families, a spiritual famine. You're not reading with your wife the Bible as you used to do. You're not praying with your children as you used to do. And this guilt and this shame, it might overwhelm you. But here's the good news. Brothers, we have Jesus, the one who was tempted in every way, but yet he was without sin. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter devil, he came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, change the stones into bread." But Jesus used God's word and he said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out from God's word, from God's mouth." Brothers, we have a Savior. We have a perfect God-man who kept God's commandment, who trusted in God's providence, who trusted in His promises. So when you have a spiritual famine or when you are in plenty, look to Jesus Christ. We should trust in Him. And all of us here, we need to thank God for Christ, because He is the bread of life. He is the manna from above. And praise God for giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. And now let us see the second point, how God provides when Naomi is left without her husband. And look with me in verse 3. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. The word Elimelech, it literally means, "My God is king." And Naomi, she left the promised land. Everybody is new there. She is a new country. And on the top of that, she loses her husband. And more than that, another thing is agonizing her. She not only thinks, if you see, she thinks the reason all the bad things that is happening to her is because God is against her. If you look at verse 13, here's the conversation between Ruth and our two daughter-in-laws. She says, at the end of verse 13, it says, "No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." She thinks this tragedy is because of God, because God wants Naomi to be miserable. She does not understand the providence of God, which our confession, the Edelberg Catechism, beautifully puts it. And if you have your Trinity Psalter hymnal, you can turn to page 8. What do you understand by the providence of God? The answer: providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which has with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and leanness, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. It's from his fatherly hand. And the next question it asks us, how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature will separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither be moved or not be moved. You see, Naomi, she thinks God's hand is against her, but on the contrary, it was God's fatherly hand caring for her. And some of you sisters here, you may not feel the exact way that Naomi is feeling, but you do know how it is, how awful it is when you lose your husband, how painful it is when you lose your husband. And remember, sisters, death is an enemy. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin." Death reminds us of this fallen world. Death by nature, death by accident, it's still ugly, and it's still painful. And the scripture says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But again, thanks be to God, Christ has won this victory. Christ Jesus, he removed the sting of death by dying on the cross and paying the price for our sins. Boys and girls, let me give you an example. Let me tell you a story. There was a senior who was studying at Ileana Christian High School, and there was two brothers. He was a senior, another one is a fifth grader, was studying at Crown Point Christian School. And both the students, brothers, they were playing in a field. It was close to a beehive. So one of the bee, it flew from the beehive. It stung the elder brother on his right hand. And immediately the elder brother, he was in pain. So he went back home. He was running back home to get some help. And that bee, which stung the elder brother, it started buzzing around the younger brother. And the younger brother, he too started screaming, "Brother, help, help, the bee is after me. Brother, help, help, the bee is after me." The elder brother, he said, "Hey, relax, calm down. Why are you saying that?" "Because, you see, he showed his right hand, that string. Brother, listen to me. The bee has lost its sting. It's right there in me. It might terrify you, it might go around you, but it cannot hurt you." Likewise, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, that sting of death, the sting of sin that is death, Christ Jesus, he has took it upon us, upon himself on the cross. Death might terrify us, might try to scare us, but we know that when we die, we will be with him in heaven, because the scriptures tells us that, and the Holy Spirit, he testifies us in our hearts. So we praise God. We praise Jesus Christ, who defeated death on our behalf. Now finally, let's deal with the final point. How God provides when Naomi is left without her two sons. And again, if you look with me in verse 4 and 5, it's a sad story again. It's a tragedy again. The two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they got married to a Moabite woman. They were married there for 10 years. And we don't know how long they were married. But both Orpah and Ruth, they were childless. And now both Mahlon and Chilion dies. That must be, again, devastating to Ruth. She is thinking, "Why is God against me? Why is he hating me?" Because if we again turn with me into your Bibles, look at verse 20 and 21. She says, "Do not call me Naomi." This is the woman that she's conversing with. "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" And again, some of you are in the same situation like her. You might have lost your son in a car accident. You might have lost your son battling in a cancer. And you might be thinking, "Why is God angry with me? Why is God testifying against me? Why is the hand of the Lord is against me?" If this is your thinking, dear sister, God wants to remind you this, that are not two sparrows sold for a penny, but apart from your Father's will, none of them fall to the ground. Even the very hair in your head are numbered. And God, he keeps track of all your sorrows. Your tears, he stores them up in his bottle. He's a loving God. He's a kind-hearted God. He's with you in your pain. He's with you in your suffering. And children, boys and girls, do you know what's the shortest verse in the Bible? It's John 11:35. Jesus wept. We have a God who weeps with us. We have a God who cares for us. He's by your side whenever you're falling. In the dead of night, whenever you're calling, he He's with you in your sorrows. And in this Jesus, in John 11, verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I hope everybody knows this Jesus. And I'm pretty sure some of you, you don't know this Jesus. This Jesus who loves and cares for his folks, for his bride, for his children. And pain and sorrow, this COVID-19 might be haunting you, and death might scare you. Please believe in Jesus Christ. Trust in this wonderful Savior. He promises that whoever comes to him, he will never, ever cast them out. Friend, I cannot promise you if you follow Jesus that you will have good health, strength, wealth, and prosperity. But I can promise you this based on scriptures. When you trust in the Savior, you will have a peace that transcends all understanding. And finally, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, as human beings, we live in a fallen world, and none of us are immune to life's hardship and difficulties. We might face physical famine, we might face spiritual famine, but all of us will face death for sure. But the good news is, God, the triune God of scriptures, God the Father, he has given us his Son so that we may have life in him, so that we may have a life of joy, a life of hope. Remember, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is written, on the day of judgment, Christ Jesus, he will destroy both death and Hades by throwing them into the lake of fire. And remember, brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is written, when we go to the heavens, when we go to the new heaven, when the Lord takes us with him, he says, there will be no more tears, there will be no more weeping, there will be no more crying, there will be no more pain, because he will wipe away all our tears, and he will make all things new. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, though we are afflicted in every way, we are not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, because you are with us in our trials. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is with us in our pain, and he has conquered death and grave. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is with us in our tragedies to comfort us and to encourage us. Help us, Father, to trust in your fatherly care and providence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.